Staying on campus now, it's time for Oh, the Humanities, taking a look at humanities scholarship research and events on campus, off campus, and online. Humanities.unc.edu for more on Carolina Public Humanities, including the Carolina K-12 program, which we're going to be talking about today, specifically a program that they've got within Carolina K-12, teaching teachers about teaching history. Ordinarily joined by Max Orr, who heads up Carolina Public Humanities. Today, though, we're joined by the director of the Carolina K-12 program, Christy Norris. Christy, thank you so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing okay. So we were talking back and forth over the weekend about topics for today, and the Carolina K-12 program, which is a fantastic program just in general, just a lot of great initiatives that you do all the time, but one in particular is extremely timely. It's a workshop that you run, which is called Teaching Hard History, that launched a couple of years ago, and it's working with teachers to get them ways to engage students with history in ways that actually confront the difficult and hard questions and realities and facts about American history specifically and world history in general. And this is something that's very much in the news today, as it has been for a long time. So tell us about the workshop. How does it go?
Sure. So as you said, Carolina K-12, we're at UNC Chapel Hill, and our mission is to serve all of the teachers of North Carolina, literally from Manio to Murphy, with free quality professional development and engaging curriculum that they can implement into their classrooms, and also really just to reaffirm deep appreciation and value for our teachers. I think, you know, we would be remiss not to recognize the fact that our teachers have had their world turned completely upside down this year, as we all have in many ways, trying to do remote instruction. And so, you know, we're just so appreciative of their hard work and, you know, pushing as they persevere through all of this. But one of our main initiatives that was started in 2018, as you said, is called Teaching Hard History. And the idea behind this initiative, it was formed on top of the release of Teaching Tolerances, a program of the Southern Poverty Law Center. They're Teaching the Hard History of American Slavery report, which basically reported that American students are not learning a comprehensive history of slavery. They're not learning about slavery's centrality to the making of this nation, and that they need to. And specifically, not that they need to say America is a terrible place or to be unpatriotic in any way, that we need to face this history to learn from it and to really be able to move forward from it. And so Teaching Hard History basically wants to help teachers help students understand the implications of our shared past, of the good and the bad, and that we make those direct connections to our present and are empowered to address the challenges of the future. One of the quotes from that report that always resonates with me so much that we really push with teachers is that hard history isn't hopeless history. You know, that the idea that by facing this past and reckoning with this past, which, you know, is certainly happening in our society overwhelmingly, I think, today, that that's really the way that we can grow and come together and move forward, you know, both as a nation and also in our classrooms.
I saw a quotation recently, and this was a meme that was like a tweet that was going around on Facebook. So I can't really remember what the origin of it is, but the quotation is, I think, really trenchant and timely, which is that if you are studying history, you're going to feel uncomfortable. If you're studying history, you're going to feel challenged and confronted. And if you're studying history and you're not feeling those things, if you're feeling comfortable and happy and enriched and feeling good about yourself, then you're not really studying history. And I thought
that's
that
right.
Was so, so true. So what are the biggest challenges in terms of teaching hard history in the classroom and getting young students, you know, we're talking K-12, so any grade level here to really engage with and confront the difficulties of history?
Yeah, I think there are a lot of challenges. I think first, teachers, especially right now, their challenge is fear. Just overwhelmingly, I mean, just this week, I've been contacted by two different educators and two different districts who have been challenged by parents for teaching about difficult history and accused basically of bias or, you know, even our you've heard the word in the news lately a lot about indoctrination. And that's really hard. Teachers worry about that pushback because, unfortunately, the idea of teaching critical thinking, of teaching about our comprehensive shared past in exactly the way you just talked about, has become controversial. So teachers are often experiencing pushback from, you know, anyone from parents to their administration to the students themselves, even when what they're teaching is directly aligned to North Carolina's standard course of study. You know, and I will also say there are some challenges in how you do this work, and that's part of what we get into with these workshops that used to be these wonderful three-day intensive events, and of course now are online and virtual like everything else, but you know, you do need to do this work carefully. We talk to teachers a lot about the need to make sure you have relationships with your students, that you are teaching this history in a way that empowers students rather than teaching a history of victims. We want to teach about survivors and not victims. We want to teach in a way that empowers students and not just makes them leave feeling beat down and terrible. You know, I think if you look at all of these periods from enslavement to present, when our country has had terrible things happen, there's always been resistance and always been resilience of people who have been oppressed. And so we really encourage teachers and give them the lesson plans and the skills to highlight that. Because again, hard history doesn't have to be hopeless history. We need to teach this to students in a way that activates them and energizes them and not just makes them feel depressed, basically.
It reminds me so much of Mr. Rogers' line about look for the helpers in times of crisis,
yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and I think W.B. Du Bois has this great quote where he, and it's so relevant today, or he said something like, you know, nations reel and stagger. They make hideous mistakes and they commit frightful wrong. But you know what? They do great and beautiful things. And can't we best guide humanity by telling the truth about all of it is, you know, as far as the truth is ascertainable. And I think that's so exactly right. You know, the idea that by sharing about our comprehensive history, that that's unpatriotic is just crazy. You know, you learn from your mistakes I always tell the teachers, when you know better, you do better. And that's kind of what we're talking about in how we educate. You know, you have to face it to fix it. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're encouraging our teachers to do and do with their students.
Speaking with Christy Norris, again, director of the Carolina K-12 program through Carolina Public Humanities, online at humanities.unc.edu. And we're talking about this program, Teaching Hard History, which now, like this week in particular, kind of exists under a little bit of a shadow because you've got the president who has signed an executive order to create this 1776 commission to promote the teaching of happy history, right? That kind of avoids mm-hmm. the difficulties and the hard questions and the challenges. So how do you respond to that, and how do you keep doing your work in that context?
I think the thing that President Trump and I do agree on is that we do need to have patriotic education, mm-hmm. but I think he and I differ very much on what our definition of patriotism is. To me, a patriotic education is an education that teaches students to think critically, to ask hard questions, and to be brave enough to face our history. You know, so my question to President Trump would be, what are you so afraid of? Why are we so afraid of facing this very true history? There's no question that slavery happened and was terrible. Because we have, you know, all of history, we have primary sources. We have the words of the folks who lived. We have artifacts and evidences that teach us all of this. North Carolina alone has incredible history that needs to be faced from, you know, the 1898 Wilmington massacre, for instance. And until we can face this history, we just can't move forward as a nation. I think our wheels are stuck in that right now, you know, and in every period of history, we get to these kind of points and we lament, oh, we've never been so divided as a nation. Things have never been this bad. And if you look at history, well, it actually has been. So my hope is that this time we'll learn the lesson and be brave enough and courageous enough to have the hard conversations and finally start to kind of, you know, reconcile and heal from the wounds that have been inflicted on so many people.
So
now, that's not to say, again, we're not talking about depressing kids, as John Oliver had, you know, said in a really funny segment recently. It's not just the history you teach, but it's also how you're made to feel when you learn it. So we're not talking about, you know, lambasting America. We're a beautiful country that's done amazing things. But as W.B. Du Bois said, we've also committed frightful wrongs, and we should tell the truth about that.
So what does that look like in a classroom? What's an example of a lesson that you give to teachers?
That's a great question. I can think of one excellent example, actually, a very specific lesson on the Battle of Maxton Pond, which is an incredible story that happened in Maxton with the Lumbee Indians, where in 1954, you had the South Carolina KKK Grand Dragon coming up saying he was going to teach the Lumbee a lesson for what he called race mixing, that the Lumbee needed to stay in their place and black folks and white folks all needed to stay in their places. And so we give teachers some primary sources to look at this history from the advertisement that says the Klan is coming and they're going to have 5,000 members at this huge rally to put the Lumbee in their place. But then we also show the perspective of Simon Oxendine, who was a World War II veteran and had a big problem with the Klan coming into his backyard to kind of spread this hate. And so the way that ended is with the Lumbee showing up in hundreds more than the Klan and basically scaring them off. You know, and it's what the Lumbee kind of call a victory for all people who have been oppressed, because literally Catfish Cole, the Grand Dragon, drove his car into a ditch, his wife drove their car into a ditch, and Catfish Cole, you know, escapes into the woods, afraid. The Lumbee help his wife push her car out, and the image of Simon Oxendine and a few of the other Lumbee wrapped in the Klan paraphernalia that they left behind when they scrambled away made the cover of Life magazine. And so Pete Seeger wrote a song about this North Carolina history. So this is a lesson plan that we give teachers to say, here is how you teach about the reality of the hate and the Klan that was being, you know, dealt with in North Carolina in the 1950s. But it's also this really incredible story about courage and resilience and activism and how the Lumbee said, nope, not in our backyard, and stood up for themselves and ran the Klan out of town, basically. And the lesson plan that they cover all of that with is by studying these photographs, you know, reading about this history, listening to Pete Seeger's great song, and kind of putting all of, you know, some oral histories from the Lumbee and putting all of this great material together to have kind of this full comprehensive understanding, not just of the hard history and what the Klan was doing and the racism that existed against Lumbee and, you know, black folks in North Carolina, but also about the way activism and resilience led to overcoming that in that moment. And of course, the battle continued and the fight still continues today. But that's just one example of the type of materials we give to teachers to try to cover again the, you know, the terrible things, but also the beautiful things.
Speaking with Christy Norris, and we got to wrap up. So other upcoming events or other things that folks want to know about?
Absolutely. We have, in partnership with the Orange County Community Remembrance Coalition, the Orange County NAACP, Center for Study of American South, and so many others, we have a month-long slate of programs to talk about the incredible Ida B. Wells. So that starts on Saturday, the October 3rd at 10 a.m. with a keynote with Nicole Hannah-Jones of the 1619 Project and several other founders of the Ida B. Wells Society. free. We hope folks will join us for that. There are programs all throughout the month. If you search UNC Ida B. Wells Center for the American Study for the American South, you can get all of those programs. Specifically on October 27th at 6 p.m. will be a teacher workshop for that. Also on October 13th at 6 p.m., we're doing a different program on challenging the misconceptions of slavery with Omar Ibn Said, which is a really incredible story of an enslaved man who escaped from slavery in Charleston and was captured in Fayetteville and ended up writing his own story, basically in Arabic. And that's really, he's kind of really the only enslaved person to have done that. It's a really incredible story that we'll be talking about on October the 13th. You can find out about all of this at carolinak12.org.
Awesome. So head there and get more information, carolinak12.org. Again, Christy Norris, thank you so much for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Take care.